Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grey City Church.
I thought I'd start with a little bit of a confession. See, I am not a very patient person. If you are in the car with me and we're driving down Mitchell Freeway and I'm trying to overtake you and I get on the right-hand side and the car in front is going 80 k's an hour on the Mitchell Freeway, you'll know I'm not very patient. You'll know I'm not very patient when I'm at Coles and I'm trying to get out and the cashier behind is going as slowly as possible. You'll know I'm not very patient. And not only am I not patient, I'm actually also a little bit of a control freak. You see, my husband likes to say, we've been together for 18 years now. For the first 10 years, he was like, man, every special occasion, I can't do anything right because you've got everything set in your mind the way you want it to be. Took him 10 years to figure it out. Go figure. So today's message is called In the Waiting Room. So I'll just confess, I'm not a patient person and I'm a little bit of a control freak. So this, while I'm preparing this message, has been a real reflective time for me. And this message first started in 2008. And there was a moment in my life where I was frustrated. I was frustrated because it wasn't going the pace that I wanted it to go. It was quite still, and I felt like I was going on the conveyor belt of life. It was just going and going and going, but I wasn't getting anywhere. Have you ever felt like that? You know, you're trying to move forward, but you're not moving. So I did, as any good Christian does, I go and ask my senior pastor what to do. So it happens to be I've got him on speed dial, and he happens to be my dad. So I go, Dad, where should I go to? What should I do? And I loved how he said in his message last week about the Bible being a track for life on how to live well. There's stories in it from the Old Testament and there's New Testament stories about Jesus. And it gives you instructions on how to live life well. And so I said to my dad, you know, I'm in this season of waiting. I don't know what to do. Where should I go to in my Bible? And my dad picks the Bible up. And he says, you know, it's mentioned 69 times in the Bible. So obviously waiting is a big thing. And he instructs me to the story of Joseph. Now, I teach Sunday school and I teach the little twinklers class. And we tell the story of Joseph. And everybody knows it's the guy with the very colourful coat. So then what I did was I got Netflix out, got my daughter, sat on the couch, got some popcorn. And we watched King of Dreams. You know, the Joseph story. Anyone who's got a toddler tucks their head, yep, know the story. And I started to see it in a different light. And then the more I pondered, because that's what the Bible tells us to do. It's to ponder on God's word, right? To meditate on it, to think about it, reflect on it on the day. I started to think more and more about it. And I started to see it in a whole new light. See, the Joseph story is more than a very colourful coat. It's a beautiful story about waiting. It's a beautiful story about God's perfect timing and about how he uses everything for his good. And that's what I wanted to share with you guys today in the waiting room, the game before the game. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick apart, unpack the Joseph story, and then I'm actually also going to measure it with the New Testament, and I think that's really important. I had a friend say to me once, I only like reading from the Old Testament, and the Old Testament's pretty good. It's pretty gory. It's amazing stories inside there, but I said, what about the New Testament? Because the New Testament has Jesus in it, and you start to see the New Old Testament in a completely different lens. So that's what I'd like to do today, and then if it's okay with you, I'd like to be a little open with my life, because I do like to share. My husband says I like to overshare, but it does also say in his words that we are to live generously. Yeah, be open with our lives, and with that, people who are on the way to Jesus, they can actually smell the sweet aroma that's coming out from us. So that's what we're going to be doing today. So let's start with a prayer, because prayer is always the best way to start. Dear Lord, Heavenly and Father, I just want to thank you so much for these wonderful people who are here today. You know, they could have been anywhere on a Sunday morning, but they chose to come into the house of God. And Lord, as I'm open and generous with my life and the lessons that I've learned through the last years, I just want to pray that it becomes a blessing for others, Lord, that they'll be able to take apart from it truth. Point them to the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, before we delve into the story of Joseph, I wanted to go into one of my favorite verses. It's Romans 8, and it's a beautiful passage about humanity, life on God's term, and it talks about waiting. It draws an analogy of a pregnant woman who's not diminished in the weight, but enlarged. So I'm going to take a theme from my mum and dad, who've been sharing the stage for the last couple of Sundays, and we're going to get everyone to read from it. And I've done it as big as I could on my computer. But can we read? Meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside, helping us along. If we don't know how to pray or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs, our aching groans. He knows us far better than we know ourselves, knows our pregnant condition, and keeps us present before God. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. Romans 8:28. So I want you to just hold on to that verse, that passage, as we start to unpack the Joseph story, because I'll be coming back to that. So the first lesson that I learned when I was unpacking the Joseph story was about cultivating purpose. And if you ask the church today, where does the Joseph story start? 99% of you will probably say it starts in Genesis 37. You see, right after the closing of the family tree of Esau, it talks about Joseph's family and his story. But in reality, I believe the Joseph story actually starts in chapter 15, 400 years earlier. You see, it's this passage in Genesis, and it's just after God has told Abram that he will have descendants like the number of stars in the sky. He tells him that, and then he takes him into a very weird place, but a deep, deep sleep. And he says this: "The Lord said unto him, Know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated there." You see, Joseph's story starts then because that was God's purpose for his life. What is God's purpose for your life? God has a plan and purpose for every single person. You look in Psalm 139 and it says, "All the days of your lives from beginning to end are spread out like a book before God. And he knows everything. He knows even before you were even conceived, the thought of you came to be. He knows everything." But how much of your life are you living according to God's purposes and plans? Or how much of your life are you living according to your purposes and plans? And that was a huge moment for me, a big shift, because I started to think, what am I actually doing with my time? What am I actually doing with my energy? Because this is the thing that I realized. So the work that I do, I'm in recruitment, I do some career coaching, and there's this thing about everybody is looking for purpose. You open up any, I look to this side for Instagram, but you open up Instagram and everywhere you see it's like search for purpose this, purpose that. There's like self-help books, there's blogs all about purpose. And the thing is, what is purpose? It says in the Bible that we get our purposes from God. Ephesians 1, chapter 11, it says this. And can we read this one together? "In him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first and to put our hope in Christ, may be for the praise of glory." So it says in the Bible that we were created on purpose, for purpose. But the only way to really access that purpose is if we find him. It's through him that we find our identity. It's through him that we find our purpose. The story of Joseph starts way before he was even born. The story of Joseph starts when God's telling Abraham, this moment, 400 years, for 400 years, your people will be out of their land. And he needed someone to do it, right? It wasn't going to be Abraham. So who was the person? And God knew at that point it was going to be Joseph. So what's the plan and purpose that God has for your life? That was a really massive, massive wake-up call for me in my life. The next part of the Joseph story that was a massive learn for me was the inner game before the outer game. You know, all sports people, before they actually hit the stadium or the field, how much practice and work do they do behind the scenes getting ready? They're up at 5 a.m. in the morning, they're sitting there pressing weights, they're jumping into ice-cold baths, they're doing all the hard work that you don't actually see because you only see them for 45 minutes running around the field. There is a lot of preparation that needs to go in before you get to the game. And I love the fact that God sees me for who I can be, not who I am today. You see, the Joseph story is a story about trials. Yeah? This boy leaves his family. He's 17 years old. And what does it say about Joseph early on? He's a teenager. He's a spoilt brat. He's his father's favorite son. He tells bad reports about his brothers. So he doesn't know how to interact with people. His emotional intelligence must not be high. This is the guy God has chosen to take the people out into Egypt. Is he ready for the job? No. Far, far, far from ready. And it actually takes Joseph 13 years of life before he gets to that opportunity, before he gets into his destiny. And what happens in 13 years? You know, when we start to unpack the Joseph story, you'll see that his brothers betrayed him. Can you imagine how it would have felt? Your brothers want to kill you. They put you in a hole. And at the end, someone pleads to sell you over to slaves, Egyptian slaves. That betrayal, that hurt, it's pulling out something in him. I think so often we think about the circumstance. Yeah? We get focused on what's happening in our lives, the difficult part, that we don't realize it's an opportunity that God is pulling something out of us. And then so Joseph gets sold and he goes into Potiphar's house. So what happens in Potiphar's house? It's a time where he starts to work, because that's what he's done. He's a slave, so slaves clean the floor, slaves do this and that. But it says that the favor was on Joseph. And as he did his work, he got increased. He was an opportunity for him to expand his capacity. He's got skills that he's been developing in Potiphar's house, and the favor of God was on him. You see, I believe God created each and every single one of us for purpose. And I also believe that God has created us with unique gifts and talents that no one else can do but you. You know, when you're a little kid, there's something that you do that is so great. So I have a six-year-old. Oh, she's seven now. Great parenting skills there. I have a seven-year-old, and on her kindergarten report card, it came back with, Minna loves to lead and direct play. And it's true. She's got a little cousin who's four, and she's the one bossing him around, telling him how to do this, telling him how to do that. It's naturally inbuilt in her. It's a part of her DNA, possibly, because she's my daughter, but it's how God created her to be. You see, we've all got skills. We've all got strengths that are within us, and God has given them to you to be gifts. And this is a beautiful part about the Joseph story. So he's in Potiphar's house, and he's, you know, it's not the ideal condition. He's a slave. He's in a foreign country. It's not ideal. But what does he do? He does work. He gets on with the job, and he's growing his skills. He's getting better and better every single day. And there is favor on him. You know, I used to think that favor was on Joseph. But it turns out that the favor was on Joseph's, not for his own personal blessing, but it was favor for his assignment, you see, because he needed to get elevated in each step of the way in Potiphar's house. The next part of the story, I sit there and I go, okay, well, what happens then? You know, Joseph, he's doing well. He's getting elevated. He's the commander of the Potiphar's house. Even Potiphar's livestock's getting blessed. Potiphar's household is getting blessed. And then he gets tested. Potiphar's wife tries to seduce him. And what does he do? He does the right thing, right? So he runs, he flees. He flees so fast that he manages to leave his jacket behind. And it's with that jacket that Potiphar's wife goes to Potiphar and says, hey, Joseph, I've got Joseph's jacket. Look what he's done. You've given him all of this. You've promoted him to this position, and look what he has done. He betrays you. He takes everything away. And I sat there and I pondered and I thought, well, if he's doing the right thing, God, why did the situation get worse? You know, why did the situation get worse? And what I realized was, you see, what I realized was
that God had bigger plans for Joseph and it wasn't going to get filled in Potiphar's house. He needed to get elevated. He needed to get the right connections. He needed to increase his influence. And it says there, but there in jail, God was still with Joseph. He reached out to kindness to him and he put him on good terms with the head jailer. The head jailer put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners and he ended up managing the whole operation. The head jailer gave Joseph free rein, never even checked in on him because God was with him. Whatever he did, God made sure that it worked out for the very best. Jail was a huge part of the preparation process for Joseph. It was in jail, even though he did the right thing, so again, not concentrating on the circumstances, did the right thing, it was inside jail that he was learning to further develop his skills. Because he suddenly moved from managing a household, and I can imagine what a complex job that is, because I try and clean and take care of a household. It's only got three, so I can only imagine how difficult that job would have been. But managing a jail and the number of people inside there, it would have been a bigger budget. So for those who deal with profit and loss, you think, okay, bigger budget, bigger turnover. He was elevating what was already within him. It was an opportunity for him to grow his skill set. It was an opportunity for him to grow his strengths. And also in jail, what we begin to uncover is this, that Joseph discovers a dream. You see, early on in this Joseph story, he was able to have dreams, right? He had these dreams and that's what got him in the predicament in the first place. He told everybody his dreams. He didn't quite understand them, but he told everybody what they were. And that's why the brothers didn't like him. But in jail, Joseph has an opportunity to start learning how to prophesy. He starts to interpret dreams. And not only that, he does it with God. You know, the story goes, there's the baker and the cupbearer. And they have this dream and Joseph is like, okay, well, tell me the dream. And he goes, oh, I don't understand the dream. And Joseph goes, well, actually, my God can interpret dreams. He gives God the glory. And with that, they tell him the dream and Joseph dissects the dream and he explains the dream and it comes to pass. It comes to pass. So sometimes when we're thinking of the difficult situation, sometimes when we're thinking about the trials, we don't realize that it's actually in those trials that God is drawing out what we need for the next part of the journey. I have this, she's a pretty senior client of mine. She's a director in a Big Four firm. And you look back on her career and she keeps getting made redundant at certain key parts in her business. And then she's sitting there and she's like, I know. And she's a Christian as well. So she was sharing with me how she was feeling. She's like, I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to be here. But every time I keep trying to get there, I get stuck. And I keep going through the same process at work every single time in all different places, whether I work for Big Four, whether I work in mining, I keep going through the same thing. And I sat there and I thought, wouldn't it be interesting if we look at that situation and we go, what is God trying to teach me? Because you find that if we're not learning the lesson at that moment, you're going to keep going through it over and over and over again until you get what God is trying to draw out of you. Yeah. So my prayer for you, just like it was for me, was that I open it and I look at it with God's eyes. That I see the situation not in human terms, not with, you know, looking at it from a jail perspective, not looking at it from that moment, but actually seeing what is God trying to do in me? What's stirring inside of me? So that was the second lesson that I learned, the inner game before the outer game. And the last part that I learned was about this, determined dreaming. You see, God's timing is perfect. He is never early and he is never, ever late. He is always, always on time. The thing is, it doesn't always feel like it's on time because if you're impatient like me and a slight bit of a control freak like me, you think it's late. Now, I really, really struggled to have a baby. It took me for ages. And I tried everything under the sun, and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, and I was so angry. I was like, why is this so hard? Everybody else around me is getting pregnant, even the ones that are not even trying. Why is it so hard for me to get pregnant? You know, in those moments, I realized that God's timing is completely, completely on time. Because when I finally got pregnant, it came at the time that my family actually needed it the most, and it was the best blessing. And I was already at that stage in my life where I was able to grasp what it was like to be a mother. God's timing is completely perfect. And we go to Genesis back in the story in verse 23, and it says this, "But the head cupbearer never gave Joseph another thought." So you remember in the Joseph story, so he's interpreted the dreams and it comes to pass. What happens? And then he says to the cupbearer, "Think, remember me. Remember me when you get out on the other side. And as you go out, remember me." And guess what? The cupbearer walks out the door, but he doesn't remember Joseph at all. In fact, he forgets. Do you know how longer he was inside that jail? He was there for 2 more years. 2 years. You know, when you think about it, a human perspective, what was happening in those 2 years? Joseph was getting elevated. He was sharpening his skills. There were still things that he was learning inside those moments. When we look at it on a New Testament reflection, we look at Acts chapter 1. And Jesus had just been raised from the dead, and he had spent 40 days with his closest disciples. He was breaking bread and preparing them for what is to come. And he says in Acts chapter 1, verse 5, "Wait for what the Father has promised." And they respond, "Are you going to restore the kingdom now? Is it time?" It's a funny thing, human perspective, when it comes on time. Because the disciples' idea was, it's perfect time, you know. You've died, raised from the dead, spent 40 days with us. Great, it's time. Come back now, Jesus. It's the perfect time for you to come back. But God's perspective is different. You see, if Jesus had come back that time, then you and I wouldn't be sitting here today. The story of Christ would not have spread into the world. And this is what Jesus responds. He tells them this. "You don't get to know the time. Timing is the Father's business. What you'll get is the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes to you, you'll be able to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all over Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth." You see, God's time, is absolutely perfect. He knew the snowball effect of Jesus' story on the world. You know, even if you're not a follower of Christ, you kind of have to think 2,000 years later, over 2 billion people in this world call themselves followers of Christ. 2 billion people in this world to Jesus. And you think, if God had let Jesus come at that moment in time, then that would never have happened. You see, God's timing is always perfect. I encourage you, in whatever circumstance that you're facing, whatever may be before you, if you're a little bit impatient like me or a bit of a control freak, to trust in him. Then we get to the part of the Joseph story, and it's game time. There's that moment where the Pharaoh has the dream. He has the dream of the fat cows, the 7 fat cows, and then the 7 skinny cows that eat the fat cows, and check this out, and still remain skinny. How does that happen? Clearly, a feat of God. And he had the same dream in regards to the sheaves of wheat, the 7 fat, beautiful sheaves of wheat, and then the 7 skinny ones that eat the fat ones. And no one in the entire land can tell them what the dream is. He asks all the sorcerers, all the wise men, and no one is able. And then this is the part. When God wants something to move, the perfect timing, he elevates it like this. And then suddenly the cupbearer remembers, there was this guy in jail, and he was pretty good. You know, I had a dream, and he was able to tell the truth. And guess what? It came to pass. So this is the guy for the job. And because he had forgotten about him, Joseph wasn't going anywhere, so he knew where to find him in jail. So he pulls Joseph up, and suddenly Joseph has an audience with Pharaoh. And Pharaoh tells him the dream, and Joseph sits there and he's like, my God can interpret dreams. Not me, but my God can interpret dreams. And he goes on to explain what the dreams mean. They actually mean the same thing. You know, both dreams say that for 7 years you're going to have abundant harvest. There will be more than you can know what to do with this land. There'll be more food, it will be grains, crops, 7 years of bountiful harvest. But then it's going to be followed by 7 years of drought, 7 years of rations, 7 years where there's not going to be enough. And then Joseph applies strategy, you see. He not only tells what the dream is that God has revealed to him, he actually says, this is the time that for the 7 years of abundant harvest, we need to start storing up. We need to start storing up so that we are prepared for the 7 years of famine. The 7 years of tough times that's coming, we've got to be ready. And then this part, listen to this. This is like the best job interview ever. Pharaoh goes, oh, well, who's going to do it? Who's going to take this job? And he suddenly realizes that Joseph has been able to interpret the dreams, so you get the job. So you think about this just for a minute and think, okay, well, there's Joseph. He was a young man. He'd been in jail for a period of time. Before that, he was at Potiphar's house. Before that, he was sold as a slave. He's in a foreign country. He is not the ideal candidate to be second in charge to Pharaoh. He's not the ideal candidate to be a prime minister. You look at modern day politicians, what grooming and training they need to go through before they even get into that circle. You've got to study right, you've got to do the right degree, you've got to work right, you've got to take the right articleship, the right clerkship, the right this, the right, then you need to be voted. It takes a long period of time. But I tell you what, when God wants to move, God can move and accelerate things in an instant. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He's the creator of the entire universe. And if he opens that door, no man can shut that door. And that was exactly what happened to Joseph at that moment. At that moment, Joseph was elevated, and in an instant, he was able to start fulfilling the destiny that he had on his life. It took him 13 years of heartache, 13 years of difficult pain. Can you imagine waking up every single day for 13 years in the same cell, wondering, what's happening with my life? What's going on? But 13 years it took for him to grow into his destiny. And not only that, we start to look at the other part of the story, and it's about determined dreaming. You see, Joseph had dreams very, very early on in the Joseph story when he was a young boy. He couldn't decipher them, but he had dreams. And then now it's actually the fulfillment of what that dream is. Do you remember the dream that he had at that time? He had one that his brothers were actually bowing down towards him. It was a snapshot. You see, sometimes God gives us a vision of what we're supposed to do in one season of our life, but he doesn't fulfill it for a long time. He doesn't fulfill it to another season, and that's exactly what he did with Joseph. He showed Joseph only a snapshot of what was to come. Joseph didn't quite understand it at that point, but it was only a snapshot, and it took him 13 years of the waiting room, the game before the game, before it was fulfilled. I think that's what determined dreaming is about. God fulfilling our destiny in Christ. And then I think the other thing is that it's not that we don't have dreams. I think sometimes we don't dream big enough. You see, we come from a society where you want to be safe. Yeah. You want to have everything kind of just achievable, just a little stretch target, just a little bit ahead that you can stretch, but you can still hit it. But God doesn't want us to live like that. God has called us to live totally and dependently on him. You see, I don't think it's about us not having big enough dreams. I think it's about us not dreaming big enough to allow him to come into the dream. I think when you look at the story of creation, God created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. It had everything that he needed. It was the most beautiful place in the world. It was abundant. It was full of life. And yet Eve chose to try and do it on her own will. I don't need God, because if I eat from this tree, it's the tree of good and life, evil, that I can do it by myself. And God has only ever wanted us. He created us in his image so that we can connect and communicate with him. And the last part is about God's perspective. You see, the whole story of Joseph, from this young, bratty, spoilt boy to where he leans into God. Potiphar's wife, when Potiphar's wife comes for him, he says, "How can I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" So he's holding on to God's commandment, God's way to live, and he says, "I can't do it. I can't do it because I'm a believer of God and I believe God, and this would not be right." And then it says in when he's talking to the cupbearer, and the cupbearer is asking him about interpreting the dream, and he goes, "Well, don't all the dream interpretations belong to God? It's not me that does it. It's God." So he knows how to honour God. He knows how to give God the glory. And then with Pharaoh, he says, "I cannot do it." And Joseph replies to Pharaoh, "But God will give Pharaoh all the answers that he desires." You see, throughout the whole Joseph story, he has God's perspective in hand. He's not looking just at the situation that he's in, the trials, the difficult parts. He's looking at it from God's perspective. So how do you know what God's perspective is? How do you know God's perspective in your life? Last week, Pastor said, it's about the tracks, right? The Bible, it's the track. And if we keep by the track, we can learn. We can learn from the good things that happen. We can also learn from the mistakes that happen. You know, when we try and rush God's timing, when Abraham had the promise that he was going to be a father of nations, but it didn't happen according to time. And he was like, "Well, time's ticking. I'm getting old. What's going on? Oh, I'll try and fix it myself." And he took the Egyptian slave, Hagar. And he tried to do it in his own might, in his own ability, instead of leaning into God. So there are beautiful stories in the Bible that we can read and reflect and we can learn from. Ask yourself the question, God's perspective. And so he comes to this part where he's now elevated. It's been a couple of years of amazing abundance, and he's built storehouses around Egypt, and he's storing and he's taking all the crops, and the people of Egypt are not starving. And so much so that all the other countries around, they start to starve. 2 years in, they're dying, they're famished. And his brothers and his father are like, "Okay, well, let's take everything we've got and let's go sell it, because we will die, surely. We will die if we don't get some food." And so the brothers sell and then make their way to Egypt. And Joseph recognizes them in an instant. They don't know who he is, but he knows who they are. And this is what Joseph finally says to them. "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But don't feel badly. Don't blame yourselves for selling me. God was behind it. God sent me here ahead of you to save lives. There's been a famine in the land now for 2 years, and the famine will continue for 5 more years, neither ploughing nor harvesting. And God has sent me ahead to pave the way and make sure there was a remnant in the land to save your lives in an amazing act of deliverance. So you see, it wasn't you who sent me here, but God. He put me in place as father to Pharaoh, put me in charge of his personal affairs, and made me ruler of all Egypt." So that's a moment where he realizes it's God's plan. God structured it in that way so that I could be here for this moment. And I just ask you the question of the story of your life. What moment are you preparing for? What is God doing within you? Joseph's story is about a man that no matter what obstacle, what was going on the outside, he knew God. Throughout the story, he was leaning in, he was tested, he was tried, he sought God's wisdom, and he wanted to do the right thing by God. And God used him powerfully to fulfill his destiny. I learned 3 really important lessons from unpacking the Joseph story. The first one was about cultivating purpose. And I had to ask myself, am I on my time track? Am I on my own plan? Or am I on God's? The second was about the trial and what was happening in my life. You know, is everything that's happening, instead of focusing on the circumstance, what is God trying to draw out of me? And the final was about determined dreaming, about God's absolute perfect timing. And I just want to close with what has happened since I started delving into the Joseph story. You see, I was preparing this message for our Nullumara campus. And during that time, it was like a real stirring in my spirit. So I started and I opened up from that moment where I was just frustrated. It was a day at work with my team and Johnny, who goes to Nullumara. Everybody else had left and it was just Johnny and me, and I was sitting there and I was frustrated and I was actually like letting it rip about how disappointed I was, how things weren't moving fast enough for me. I was frustrated in that stuck feeling of not really achieving what I wanted to achieve. And I've got to say, I thank God for Johnny. I thank God that we are connected to people in this community that are church members. And that's what church is, right? It's for us to journey together, that when someone's going through a tough time, you're there with your brothers and sisters and you're helping, encouraging them, you're equipping them, you're pulling them up, you're championing that. That's what church is about. That's what we're called to be. And there was that moment where Johnny had helped lean in and say, you know what, it's okay, we can figure it out together. We don't know what's going on, but, you know, God's got good plans for us. Let's keep moving forward. And through the unpacking of the Joseph story, I started to realise my heart condition was actually right. You see, I'd been chasing my own ambitions. The previous year in 2017, I had a fresh word of God. It was literally this. It was a drop. It was the words, do work differently, and that was it. And I was like, okay, great, God, thanks. Now what? And then when God wants something to move, he moves pretty quickly. So within a couple of weeks, I had all of these massive open doors and I was literally running through them. I was sitting there with State Premier and we were on, and I was talking about the future of work and doing work differently, right? And I was going full steam ahead, running. And what I realized was I was running to my own beat, because then I started thinking not what God wanted about doing work differently, but my own agenda and what I wanted and my own plans. And God has a funny way of pulling it back to realize what he wants, to put us back onto the right track. So at the beginning of last year, come January, you would have seen me, Siang remembers, I was like, he was like my doctor. I was covered with all these bed bug bites and I was in and out of hospital and I wasn't quite sure of what was going on. And then I got my second word. It was Pastor Kara, you'd finished preaching in January, and there was a word. Marie had come up to me and said, I have a verse for you, and that verse is trust in him. Nothing else, just trust in him. And all through that week, I just remember seeing it when my quiet time, trust in him, trust in him, trust in him. Didn't know what I was trusting him for at that point. I just knew I wasn't 100%, but I had to trust in him. Then, a couple of weeks later, they found that there was this massive growth on my liver, 8.6 centimetres long, and I'm like, what? Trust in him. God has a way of slowing you down. He puts things in there, these obstacles in there, not to stop you, but it's to realign you, to get you ready to what he needs you to do. And that was the only way that he could get my attention into getting myself right with him. You see, it was in those moments of not knowing, because it took so long to get the scan in and the doctors and the specialists, and they still didn't know what was going on. But then I really had to trust in him because I didn't know what was going on. And in that trusting with him, I was leaning in and I was still not slowing because I was still trying to do it my way. I'm a control freak, remember? An impatient control freak. So I was still trying to do it my way. And he was like, no, Phoebe, listen to me, listen to me. And so I started to unpack what it's like to wait well with him. I started to read the Bible more. I started to delve deeper into what God was trying to tell me. And I realized that every trial that I was facing, God was just slowing me down so that I would get my heart aligned to him. And it was not enough just to say it, because I'd say it. He wanted to get my heart condition right. And that was a lot harder than just saying it. To saying it in a prayer and to say, this is, oh, you are the king of my life. You're the Lord of my lords. I'm doing it. But actually doing it and giving him full authority over my life was a much different thing. And I thank God it wasn't 13 years of waiting and growing that he was able to accelerate it somewhat to a Phoebe pace. But in 2018, it was that time where he was really stirring within me. And I tell you what, his timing is perfect. When he wants to accelerate, when you're ready for that moment, he accelerates so fast. So I'm in this space that last year come, I think it was August, September, I was actually unpacking the Joseph story, getting ready to preach in Nolomara, and I started to think about what Potiphar's house was and jail was. And I started to realize it was an increased area of influence. It was increasing his capacity, increasing him ready. And at the same time, it's funny how God works, someone approached me and said, would you come and do recruitment again? And I said, no, 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 no. My plan, never, ever go down that path ever again. That's not what I want to do. And it was unpacking the Joseph story that I realized, actually, not my agenda, not my purpose, not my plan, but God's. And God had put this opportunity ahead of me, and I spent time with him praying and saying, all right, if you really want me to do this, then you've got to show me that this is the one that you want me to do. You've got to make it possible and make it open so wide that I know. You've got to give me a sign that I know that this is it. And surely he did. And I tell you what, when he does, see, he's given you gifts, right? The favor is not upon yourself, but it's really for the assignment. I know that I haven't hit where I need to be. I'm only 38 years old. I still got a long time to go. But the favor of God is for the assignment, and this is a part of my preparation process. And he opened a door, and it was a pretty big door that I knew that I had to just jump in. And then it so happened to be I accepted a position and a job, which was far greater than what I had left previously. And my question to him was, but then I just told you I gave you my business. So if I'm supposed to do this job, then how am I supposed to do this? It doesn't really make sense, God. And then God says, trust in me. I'm the author and finisher of my faith. I'm the creator of the universe. Trust in me. So I said, okay, right, well, I'll do this. And then there was left this space. And for a control freak like me, space is not a good thing. You know, I need to have defined borders. I need to have an action plan. I need to have time frames, and I need to know. But I tell you what, when God opens doors, and he is so good. So he brought to me a whole new bunch of young people that work for Excellus. And now we have an opportunity to, in 2019, go to schools across WA. So we're starting with Servite. It's a Catholic school. And guess what we get to do? We get to share our story about God at work. So we get to talk exactly about this. So cultivating purpose. What is the purpose? You know, God has created every single individual with strengths. They've created them for purpose, on purpose. So what are yours? And so the team and I will start to unpack what that looks like. And then not only that, it's okay, so how do you find the right people? How do you get to create momentum? And because it's a Christian school, we get to talk about it with God lenses. And we get to be open with our faith. And I think that's a huge part, right? The Bible says for us to live our lives generously and openly with our faith. Any women who were here in 2018 for the high tea, you know that that was the theme. It was about showing the God colors, drawing out the God colors in life by being open and sharing our story. And I just want to encourage you, brothers and sisters. I can say that, uncles and aunties, achos and nots. But God is so good. He has an amazing plan for your life. You might be stuck in that moment where it's not going according to your plan, but I tell you, if you give him the pen to write the story of your life, it will be far greater than you can ever come up with. And I have an active imagination. He is amazing. He has so much to give you if only you can want to receive it. Don't get focused on the circumstance. Don't get focused when you're stuck in the trial and things are not going to plan, and submit to him and trust in him, lean into him, and he'll do amazing things. And then use your story to encourage other people, because that's what this community is all about. We're a church. We go through tough times. Lean into your brothers and sisters, share with them and encourage the ones, champion them forward, because we're all racing towards the finishing line. It's just we don't want to get there first, because you know what that means. I'm going to ask the pastoral team to come up and close the service. But before that, I want to ask, is there anyone who wants prayer for the following areas? The first one is, are you stuck on knowing God's purpose? Because I've worked with a lot of people in my line of work that get stuck on purpose. They're like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I think it's supposed to be this. Usually people think purpose is a job, but it's far, far greater than that. Are you stuck and you're trying to figure out what your purpose and what your place is in this world? The second is, if you're going through something at the minute and it's a trial and it's an obstacle and you're sitting there and you feel like you're in Potiphar's house or you feel like you're in jail, I invite you to come up to prayer to not see it in human eyes, not see it in human perspective, but to see it in God's eyes, to have God draw out what he wants and prepare you for the next part of the journey. And then I pray for God's perfect timing. So if you'd like prayer on any of these things, I'd ask you to come up and the pastoral team will pray for you.
This is the end of the message. We trust you've been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.